close in from the Embarcadero, then they were all virtuals. And there's a reason to have a virtual. I agree, we should have virtuals back. The way it's done in our area is they get into terror caching, do their locationless caching.
I've never been on it. I don't understand it. I've never done it. I may have done a terror cache with you. And then we did a letterbox.
Yeah, a letterbox.
I think you did one letterbox.
Yeah, and I just came upon it by accident, and I didn't know what it was. And I was out on my own doing that while he was in a meeting, so I went out and did a few on my own, and I came across this letterbox.
And they call it a hybrid because I think you can still find it using the letterbox rules.
Correct.
But for a hybrid, it's also then these posted coordinates for geocachers to find. I guess I need to get you guys back to your family. Any other comments on geocaching, the state of geocaching now? What do you like about it? What you don't like about it?
Obviously, Bob's been more active in it initially. And I enjoy just getting out and being introduced to parks and areas that have been around that I never knew about. And the people. I've always enjoyed the social aspect of it. I don't really have anything negative other than I'm not a rabid 24/7 cacher. You know, I like balance in my life. So.
No, she's not a marathon cacher. I like the fact that geocaching.com is doing its level best to maintain this sport as a good family sport. Some people don't think they listen, but they do listen, and eventually some things change based on input. I think Groundspeak is doing a pretty good job of trying to keep this a safe, clean sport. There's never been any really bad stuff that has come out of it. A few cachers that put an ammo can underneath a federal bridge, and that gets in the headlines for a little bit. I think the sport is well managed.
I think most people are trying to be sensitive to the environment and take care of what we have and teach the little ones what it's about, too. It's a great family event. I mean, it's been great to introduce us to you, Paul and Rich, and people outside of our own little area. We've met some really wonderful people trying to troubleshoot puzzles or when we know we're coming to an area.
Right. No chance of burnout anytime soon?
No, I don't think so.
Are we going to hit 7,000 and retire?
No, I don't think he'll retire, but you constantly set new goals. Like right now, puzzles seem to be his focus. He likes to do those kind of caches.
There are people that keep track of the records. I'm not one of them. I know how many caches roughly I've got because every time you log, he gives you the number. Well, I'm constantly getting calls from people, you know, somebody's about ready to catch up to you. And I said, so what? Go for it. In fact, one guy, he was so rabbit about it. I said, now I'm going to be recovering for an operation for a couple of months. Here's your chance. Go out there and do it now so I don't have to deal with this lonely anymore. It's nice to have the numbers, but I don't live and die by them, and I don't compete with other people. One of the guys that I really, really like is Mountain Bike. He's right up at the top in our state, and I, out of respect for him, I hope I never, ever pass him because he's a gentleman. In fact, that picture that sometimes you see for the advertisement of the book on how to do geocaching, it's on the homepage. Well, that picture of him in the geocaching.com hat, that's Mountain Bike with glasses and the geocaching.com hat. Well, thank you for the opportunity. If you ever come out to the Seattle area, you got a place to stay in. We'll take you out. In the town of Redmond that you mentioned earlier, it's infamous for its very difficult caches. It's got a bunch of them there. They're a lot of fun, but boy, do they put you through the ringer. I've got books of puzzle solutions that is about 2 feet thick.
Yeah, over time he's learned that engineer mindset, so he keeps all of his information and it's all organized.
People that like to do puzzles, they'll, hey, can you give me some help on this? And I don't like to be asked, give me the answer. That's very offensive to me because don't you want to go through the puzzle yourself? That's how I got to know Rich, is I asked him for some help and just met him online. Do you know the cache I'm talking about?
Safecracker cache.
Yeah, Safecracker.
That's the one I always ask people about when they come into town. I said, have you tried that one?
I finally got it open, but he had to keep telling me, turn it this way. Not the rods, but turn the box, because I had figured out how to do it, but I had 12 o'clock in the wrong direction.
We're going to head out to my nephew's and do some around him today.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your stay here.
Oh.
Thanks again. And we'll post this sometime probably in February.
For the moment, Merry Christmas to everybody here in the St. Louis area, even though you're going to hear it in February.
Thanks a lot.
We did a lot of little short trips this summer.
Yeah, that's one thing about retirement. You can do that.
When I do travel, I've usually got to get somewhere at a certain time, so I can do caches along a route, maybe half a mile or so, that aren't too difficult, and then all the rest stop caches, of course.
Right.
when I get to my destination, I can say, give me everything, and I got time to find the really cool stuff where you got to walk away.
We still print out. We like the printouts. And take it with us, and then, you know, I write my notes on it and take it back and unfold it at the computer and put my stuff.
Originally, that's what we started doing, and then we've got the PDA. Bob needs a new poem, so that's what he's going to get for Christmas, but he's got to find the one he wants. Well, I should have mentioned that one of the things we found that if you are taking a family friend or somebody out, they need to actually hold the GPS, just walking around and them watching you do your thing can be boring. Because we've been out with some people. Remember Jackie had her cousin here and she was kind of bored because the three of us were out finding caches and she felt like third man out because she really didn't have a GPS.
And that's one thing we learned. You don't take people with you without sticking one of these in their hands.
They got to learn to participate, or they just don't feel like they're part of the group.
When we first started doing training, we would ask our members to bring their own receivers, and they were different models and different brands. What we're finally have enough money to do in our treasury is buy some yellows so that whenever we train somebody, we consistently tell them the same thing with the same unit. This past year, the Missouri Department of Conservation bought 24 yellows. They let us borrow it for one of their events. In that case, we had so many units, we did put a unit in everybody's hand. Everybody had their own unit who was going to walk with us. We say, okay, here's how you select the waypoint, follow the arrow, versus just tagging along and really, like, okay, what's the point? I'm just following you.
My nephew's probably going to join us this afternoon. He's been out with me. When I came to St. Louis a couple times, I said, let's go caching. And he said, well, I'll go with you. And then I realized I had to give him the GPS. And then this afternoon, I'll let him use mine. Because you feel like you're really participating. He's really good at finding stuff.
Yeah. I know a few people who, in order to get the young ones interested, go ahead of time on caches he knew where it was and make sure it was well-stocked.
Yeah.
Because once they find that treasure and they kind of get hooked on it.
We have found that if you are trying to introduce somebody to it, they have to know that they're participating and not tagging along.
Well, I'm glad the snow melted for you.
The week before we came, she said, well, it just snowed, and then it warmed up enough. This is great. It's cool, but it's clear. I haven't even seen what the weather is at home. So.
Yesterday, the wind chill was pretty bad. And even after snow melted, it was muddy. If you're a true cacher, that never stops you. But.
No, this is kind of like the Portland area where you have all this clay, really fine sediments. Get off the grass and sticks to your feet. Ready to go there?
Yeah. Well, this was exciting. I've never done this before.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. I've got your email address. I'll let you know when it gets published.
Okay.
Well, Merry Christmas.
You too. Yeah, good to see you. Yep.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.